That's good. Well, kingdom greetings. That's good. It's getting better. You guys getting it? It's awesome. I thank the Lord for giving me this opportunity to bring forth His word today. I ask that, this has been my prayer all in the past 2 weeks, that the Lord would take away from me the fear of men, that I'd be able to preach the word, not to appease to anybody, but at the same time, I wouldn't be afraid to offend anybody with the word. Because the word of God is like a two-edged sword, and it offends sometimes. You know, and believe me or not, in our society, sometimes when I read a word, unless the Holy Spirit is like right there with me, I'm like, man, I can't say that. So I've been praying. I'm like, you know what, Lord, increase my boldness. Because Jesus is coming back and He wants His bride to be ready. He wants His bride. He wants us to be ready. You know, so one of the things I would encourage you guys, if you have your awesome tool, cell phone with you right now, I'd ask you to put it on Do Not Disturb for the reverence, for the name of the Lord. Anything else, everything else can wait. You know, so let's kind of create this culture. When we come before the Lord, we come with in reverence. We come with respect. You know, believe me, everything else can wait, and it's the most gonna be 45 minutes, and we want to devote this time wholeheartedly, non-divided, to the Holy Spirit. You know, coming out from my sabbatical, that's one thing I came out of. It's like I knew it, but I came out being more aware of the distractions, you know. And we're busy people, which is awesome. We thank God for our lives, but we also need to understand that the enemy, he wants, sometimes he throws things at us. It's maybe it never happened to you, but it's crazy when I want to spend time reading, searching the word or whatever. You know, it's like that's the time my phone started ringing. Texts coming through, WhatsApps coming through, you know, and I got this message, you know. Or when I want to go to bed, I told you a couple weeks ago, what I've been doing is just leaving my phone outside the bedroom. I never thought I could do that. But I find, man, it's so liberating. I literally don't take my phone in my bedroom. It's been probably a month. And I'd say you try it. Okay, it's not a commandment. Just try it. See what happens. Before you go to bed, 30 minutes before you sleep, turn the phone off or leave it in the living room. You know, it's amazing. Your mind's going to start going crazy. But at least you're going to find, you're going to sleep with peace. You're going to have every, it can wait. It can wait. Okay? So I believe that the Lord wants me to talk to you this morning about coming aside. Come aside. The title of my message this morning would be like, come aside with me. Come aside. Let's go. You know, it's like, let's go in the private, secret place. Mark chapter 6, verse 31 from the King James Version, actually. I think you have it in the Passion Translation. It says, there is such a swirl of activities around Jesus. And I want you to picture yourself on a daily basis with the swirls of activity that surrounds you. We are busy people. Sometimes the moment you wake up, your mind is, even before we wake up, our mind's rushing like running 100 miles an hour with everything else you have to do. Some of us, if you're like me, some of the things you have to do keeps you up at night. I don't know if that ever happened to you, but it happened to me. You know, depending on what I have going on, what projects or what plans, you know, what vision, it's like sometimes I can't sleep. It can be good, but it also can be bad because that creates anxiety. But I want you to picture this from the Passion Translation. The New King James says, Jesus said to them, don't go there. It says, come aside by yourselves. Come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest a while. Go back to the TPT. And then the Passion Translation says, there was such a swirl of activities around Jesus with so many people coming and going. And you could be like, man, that's my life. People coming and going. I mean, with the time change, 4 o'clock, it's dark, you know, traffic everywhere. People are swirling. there's a lot of swirl of activity around you. And he said that they were unable, they were so busy, they were unable to even eat a meal. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah. You're so busy, but you have no time to eat. And then, what do? You eat on the run. But then Jesus said to his disciples, come, let's take a break and find a secluded place where you can rest. Everybody say rest. And I tell you one thing we don't know how to what to do. One thing we don't know how to do is rest. Well, thank you. Praise the Lord. Laji, please, I really need to talk to you. I really need to talk to you because I need the formula. But seriously, us believers, I mean, we busy people. You know, and there's no condemnation, but you think about it, even when studying the brain, even when we're trying to rest in front of a screen, that's not rest. I never thought I would say this. Seriously, my wife would tell you. Was it you that says, oh, okay. I seriously never thought I would be able to be in a position to say what I'm saying to you right now. Because for me, it wasn't a big deal until I got convicted. That's where it's at. You know, the Lord told me, he said, I can preach until I blow up with compassion for each of you, but until you all get a revelation, nothing will happen. Revelation. Revelation. It's like the light was off. Bing! The light comes on. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's why you must have a revelation. You won't survive without a revelation. I could come here and tell you how much you should be eating healthy. But until you got, bing, a revelation, I could be preaching until I blew up. Nothing will happen. The Lord can, during my fast, I went for a walk. I walked 14,000 steps. And then the Lord told me, he said, Ricardo, you don't know how to rest. I remember, I'm walking in the woods, and then I stop. I said, well, what do you mean, Lord? And he said, you violate my Sabbath. And I'm like, well, Jesus, hang on. You know, rest is like rest. You see, now, right away, some of you might already maybe feel a little comfortable when I'm talking about the Sabbath. Because you're like, well, we're not under the law. Jesus came and kind of established a new day. The day is today, so we can cease striving and enter God's rest. And what does that mean, the Sabbath? I'll tell you. Come aside by yourself to a place and rest. The word rest. You know, exhaustion is one of the worst enemy in your life. When you constantly exhausted. And the plan of the enemy is for you to be burned out. You know what Satan wants from me? He wants me to burn out, to be burned out. He wants me to work. There is a song in Creole. I don't know in English. And let me see if I can translate it. I refuse to sing that song once I got a revelation. It says, "On nous travaille pour le Seigneur avant soleil à coucher." It's like, let us work for the Lord before the sun goes down. Let us work like, I mean, it's like work to death because the Lord might come now. When really Jesus didn't call us to work until we burned out. He says the only work I ask of you is that you put your faith in the Father. And then when you get that, you realize, man, I enter a season of rest. Even when I serve the Lord, I serve the Lord. How? I'm resting. I can't explain it. I was talking to you, Kathy, the other day. I said, Kathy, I don't want to say I don't care because I do care. But I feel like I am in a season of rest with the Lord where it's like nothing really matters but Jesus. I do care. And I pray that everybody gets it. I pray you really give a chance to the Holy Spirit to go to the source and drink for yourself so you can experience the same thing. I pray what I have would be contagious. I pray what I got would be contagious. And that's my prayer. That what Kendra, my children, some of you, if not all of us, what we are experiencing in the secret place, I pray it would become so contagious. I want you to catch it. I do. I want you to be contaminated. I know those are kind of bad words. You know, COVID. Think about COVID. Think about COVID, 2020. That's a year we all missed. Huh? We missed the 2020 years. But that's my prayer. My prayer is that we would all be so contagious with the fire of God. Then everything that the enemy gonna throw at you, you'll be able to withstand. Why? Because Alyssa sang that earlier. We sang it. Christ is what? My firm foundation. And I said, we, as Americans or Haitians, Americans, Puerto Ricans, Americans, you know, we don't know how to rest. We violate the Sabbath. We are so free, we think we can work 24/7. We think we can, we are so free in the Lord. We think, you know what? Well, who cares about, well, today is the day of rest. But when did you rest? When did you shut everything up? Shut everything down to be quiet? Going in a secluded place does not necessarily mean you go in the woods like I did, but it could be at home. It could be for 24 hours, you dedicated maybe an hour and a half before you go to bed and you shut everything down just to, you know what happened when you shut everything down and allow your mind to be quiet? You meet yourself. So this is what the Lord told me. For you, for those of you who knows me, it used to be painful every time Kendra goes away. As a matter of fact, her and I, we would get in a fight. When she tells me, honey, I'm going to see my parents for a week, I'm like, you're not going. Where are you going? You can't do that. You know what? My problem, I mean, the Lord delivered me from that. First of all, I couldn't cook anything. So I was just like, what am I going to eat? You know? You know, so that was a big problem. I'm like, well, I'm going to starve to death, you know. But that was a big thing for me. But then my problem, I was afraid of solitude. Guys, I never knew I was afraid of solitude until the Lord took me in the woods, put me in that position. And he's like, you know what? You're afraid of solitude. I'm a people person. So I really get my energy from rubbing with people. Some of us are not like that. Okay, but that's the way God created me, okay? Yeah. You know, and the thing is, for those of you who are not like that, that's perfect. You perfect, you know? God created you perfect, but God created me the way I'm telling you right now. I love people. I love community. I wouldn't be a bachelor. I would have a house full of people with me. I love having my kids. I love having Kendra. I love having people. Stop, see us. I like people stopping in. I like cell group. I love it. It's like after cell group, I'm like, yeah. Some of you are like, oh man, thank God they're gone. Because when you get together, they suck the life out of you. But me, when we get together, it's like, I'm going to, yeah! You know? So the Lord's like, your problem is you, man, God didn't say it was a demon, but this is just one something he had to set me free from. Solitude. Because I never like to be by myself. Not because I'm afraid, but maybe because I never wanted to meet myself. You know, when you are in solitude or in a season of fast, you meet yourself. You get your mind start thinking. That's why some people always like noise. You want life to be busy, because when life is not busy, you go crazy. Oh, that rhymes actually. When life is not busy, you go crazy. I should make a song with that. You know? Thank God he set me free from that. So then I said, Lord, how do I rest? And then once again, he said, go and read Exodus. So clear. In the past 5 years in my life, I've never heard God speak so clear to me in the past 2 weeks. So it's like, guys, the Lord speaks, but sometimes we're so busy we never hear it. You're like, well, God speaks? Yes, he does. Maybe we're too busy. We don't know how to rest to connect with him. We don't know how to be still and know. We don't know how to do that. We don't know how to be still and know, because first of all, you have to meet yourself in being still. It's okay when your mind start going crazy. You know, it's like you go quiet and then your mind is all the thoughts. Thoughts when you were kids. I mean, crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. But then the more we wait, the more we wait, we wait, we wait, we wait, we allow our mind to debrief. Then you make room for the Holy Spirit. You know, people go and try yoga to connect with it. Let me tell you, whatever that is, it doesn't work. That's right. So I went and read Exodus. Remember, I'm talking about come aside. The Lord's inviting you to come aside with him. And I believe right now what God is doing, the church needs more than a sermon. It's not a sermon. It's not about a sermon. I'm not here to present you a sermon. When we go to the doctors, if the doctor says you got to take this many pills, this many vitamins, whatever you got to do, you don't go home and ignore the prescription, do you? None of us do that. You follow through, right? Right, Laji, what you say? Oh, you do that? Some people. But then, people who does that, they'll never reap the result. And I say, the reason I say you never do that, because who in their right mind would do that? You know you're supposed to follow through. And when we come together, the Lord is giving you a prescription. The Lord is challenging you. He's calling you up. When you go home, what do? Well, you better follow through. Because you do not want this to happen to you. There's a verse in the Bible. You don't have to go there. It's not in my note. Jesus said, you know what? There's a guy with a couple talents. Jesus gave a bunch of talents. And then one guy said to the Lord, he said, you know what? I know you reap where you didn't sow. I know you're unjust. So I took your talent and hid it. You see, when you don't use or accept God's grace, be careful so you don't lose it. You know what's happening with a lot of people right now? They're even losing the little thing they had. It's like the little faith they had, they're going. You either grow or you die. You're either moving forward or you're going backwards. Every aspect in life. So as I begin to read Exodus, the question came up to me again. What do you think Moses did with the Lord for 40 nights and 40 days? And the answer was very simple. Moses hang out with the Lord. Moses hang out with the Lord. Do you know God wants to hang out with you? You know, we were talking about Friday. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? Praying without ceasing in the general the definition of it is to always be in check with God. Praying, it's like everything you do. Pray, Lord, what's your perspective on this? Can you survive 3 hours in the Lord's house? I don't know. That's a personal question. Can your mind survive 1 hour without distraction? I don't know. Maybe my prayer is that the Lord would call you deeper. And that's my challenge for you. I've been praying. I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, am I supposed to call the church on a fast? He hasn't said anything yet. I feel like I want us to fast for like 48 hours. But not necessarily food, but he's going to fast something. But I'm like, Lord, is that something I want to do, or is that something you want us to do? Because if I'm following through with what he wants to do, there's going to be a result. But if I'm just going to throw fasting out there because I am on this mountaintop experience, no. I'm having my I'm enjoying my revival. But I'm telling you what's happening, how I'm experiencing the revival. It's not just miracle that happened just like that. I paid the price. And so must you. For you to experience the fullness of Jesus, you must be willing to come aside with him. Must be willing to come aside with him. Some of you might have to wake up 40 minutes before your time, your clock, your time for work. Can you survive 30 minutes with the Lord? I come to realize that our present world system is strategically designed to squeeze God out of us. Think about it. The moment someone make a decision to, I have decided to follow Jesus, all hell break loose. I don't know about you. The moment you make a decision in your mind to make things right with God, you got attack from every corner. But people who just go to church, come to church, but they just come to church, but guess who's on the driver's seat? They are. They put Jesus in the back. Jesus, come on, stay back there, all right, Lord? Not even in the passenger seat. Some people, they're not comfortable with Jesus on the passenger seat. You know those people you drive with? I always tell you, turn here, turn there. Stop light, turn. Sometimes those people are good for you, but you can't be on the driver's seat if Jesus is your Lord. He must be on the driver's seat. I still remember every time I say this, when I was teaching my kids to drive, and I'm sitting in the back and I'm teaching Ryan how to drive. We're going down 95, and I'm barking orders. I'm like, do this, do that, do this, do that. And then Ryan's like, oh, Dad, do you want to drive? That kind of woke me up a little bit. I'm like, you know what? He's really driving nice, fine, safe, but me back there, I'm feeling uncomfortable. I'm feeling out of control, thank you. So therefore, I'm sitting back there barking orders, trying to control. My brothers and sisters, Jesus must be on the wheels of your life. You must let him drive. You must let him drive. That's why we were singing, praying, you're perfect in all of your ways. So when the Lord's leading you, he'll never lead you to a dead end. Can you trust that? Can I believe Jesus will never lead me to a dead end? 4 years ago, maybe 3.5 years ago, I went to an encounter. And all of a sudden, the Lord is touching my heart. He's like, Ricardo, you're bitter. You're bitter. I'm like, bitter towards who? He's like, you're bitter towards God. Because in 2019, when I left Haiti, I didn't leave with the purpose to not go back. So then while I'm here, I realize the will of God for me is to be here. Guess what? I wasn't happy with God. And I didn't know it. I thought, oh yeah, you know, you can't be really mad with God. But I start blaming him. Until in my encounter with the Lord, he's like, well, you can't move on if you're bitter towards me. Do we know that Father knows best? Yes, I know he knows best. Then I repented. I said, Lord, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. You know best. You know what? You know my life. You know I am yours. We say, God, I am yours. Yeah, I'm yours. But we always have a but. You know, that day was in February. That season set me free to move forward. Come aside with me. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. Let's read this story. It says, in one of the villages, Jesus met a man with an advanced case of leprosy. When the man saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground, begging to be healed. Lord, he said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. What do you see here? Right there, we see that the guy came to Jesus with faith. Because he says, I know you can, but if you're willing. And Jesus reached out and touched him. I'm willing. And I want you all to remember to see these words, these three words. I am willing. The Lord is saying to you, I am willing. I am willing. The only thing you got to do is come. Come knowing is the only answer. Come knowing that what this guy said here. Lord, I like this. It says the guy had an advanced leprosy. So the guy was pretty much very violent. He was bold because according to the law, he wasn't supposed to be seeing anybody. And then Jesus says, I am willing, be healed. Glory to God. And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus instructed him to tell anyone what had happened. How is that possible? This guy was covered with advanced leprosy, yet the Lord touched him. And then the Lord goes on and say, what do you see here? Is that possible? Because eventually, this guy is going to start walking around, being healed. He's going to be excited. He's going to have a joy. He's going to be like, man, glory to Yahweh. You know, man. And people are going to start noticing him. They're going to recognize he was the guy with advanced leprosy. And then what are they going to ask? What happened to you? My brothers and sisters, Jesus wants you to encounter him to a level. What? When people see you, they have nothing but to ask, what happened to you? What happened to you? Can I have a witness? Listen, people, your neighbors, your family, your friends, they must be able to see. Say. Because they see. You remember, what is it? 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone encounter Christ, if anyone meet Christ, that person becomes what? A new creation. So what's happening to you? You're growing from glory to glory. In your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. And then Jesus says, go to the priest, let him examine you. Take along the offering required by the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. But despite Jesus' instruction, the report of his power spread even faster. And a vast crowds came to hear him preach, to be healed of their diseases. Jesus was on high demand. Oh, I pray all the time. I said, Lord, stretch out your hands. But it's very dangerous for anybody to be willing or wanted to pay the price to follow Jesus because of miracles. Because you see here what happened? A vast crowd. Crowds of people looking for him. Why? Not because he was the Messiah. Not because they had a revelation. But because they had physical needs. But this is, look what Jesus did. Oh, God help us. Jesus withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. I'm like, man, I don't want the crowd. I want to be hidden. It's like, oh, yes. It's like, I want to be in the wilderness. You know? People looking for Jesus to pat him on the back. Man, master, deliverer, healer. Not Messiah. And we all have needs. And believe me, there are people, they don't want to follow Jesus. There are people out there, they don't want to follow Jesus because they have a physical need. They want Jesus to meet that physical need. In other words, they're looking for Jesus' hands. I don't know how it is for you, but I'll tell you how it is for me. When I have a friend or somebody who befriend me and right away they're looking for my hand, I do this. Because I realize they don't want to be my friend, they just want my help. Oh yeah, they just want what I have to offer. You know, they just want, oh man, Ricardo, you're such a good, talented musician. Oh man, they're doing all this. They're doing this. And then sometimes, because of lack of wisdom, we let what they're saying got in our heads. And we think we're important. But I tell you, those people, when they don't need you, they'll chew you. Spit you out. My brothers and sisters, it's great lessons for me and you right here. Jesus is not looking for the crowds. He's not looking for attention. I don't want attention. I don't want us. I mean, yeah, if God filled this place, we've got 3 services, glory to him. But if he doesn't, I want to be faithful with 10, 15 people. Those of you who are willing to go in the secret place. And that's my invitation. My invitation to you guys, listen to my heart. Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back for a pure bride. The enemy will do everything in its power, to suck God's life out of you. Please don't let him. Please listen to my heart cry. Don't let him. Don't let him. You gotta fight back. And you know how you do fight back? On your knees. You gotta fight back because he's fighting for you. The enemy is fighting for your soul. Jesus already fights for your soul. And the battle has been won. The only thing you must do is step in what he has done. And when you do, we will experience as a church God's revival. We will be a life-giving community, not a life-sucking community. No. And God wants us. And I thank God. I give him praise. And I thank you guys for being a loving community. We love Jesus, and we will continue to give him room here. God says, for what I'm doing on earth, only those who discipline themselves to withdraw to prayer will experience it. And when he said that to me, I'm like, okay, Lord, should I say that? He said, yeah, that's a revelation. For what I'm doing on earth, only those, and I look at the word, I'm like, wow, Jesus, he was so busy, he was so famous, had all power, and yet he never seek the crowds. He seeks to be in the presence of God. That's the only thing that would make the difference. And I want us to be a people who seek God in a secret place. See God in a secret place. Here's another story. In this story, I find the last five words of a dying believer. A couple years ago, Bernie taught me the last seven words of a dying church. The last seven words of a dying church. What is it, Bernie? We never did it that way before. So I'm reading Luke chapter 5, verse 33. Listen to this. One day some people said to Jesus, John the Baptist's disciple fast and pray regularly, and so do the disciple of the Pharisees. What do you see right there? Some people came to Jesus. They said, well, Jesus, this church down the road, they're doing this and that. This group of people down there, they're doing this and that. Why don't you and your people do this and that? Because everybody's trying to fill in. Why are your disciples always eating and drinking? Jesus responded, do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday the groom will be taken away from them and then they will fast. Then Jesus gave them this illustration. No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and uses it to patch an old garment. For then the new garment would be ruined and the new patch wouldn't even match the old garment. We all get this. I love Jesus. He's putting a picture in your mind. It never worked. And he goes on and say, and no one puts new wine into old wineskin. God is pouring new wine. But until your wineskin is renewed, you'll waste the new wine. And I'm seeing it happening. I've seen it happen to people. It goes on, Jesus says, for the new wine would burst the wineskin, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine must be stored in new wineskin. But no one who drinks, my goodness, listen to this. Underline this in your Bibles. Read it again tonight. It says, but no one who drinks the old wine seems to want the new wine, for they say, the last five words of a dying believer. The old. Oh, why do I need this? The old's fine. What we've been doing is fine. The way we are, it works. To this I pray, I say, Lord, give me your chance, your grace, that I would not be satisfied with the old. Because your mercy renews every day. You're pouring new wine every day. You're pouring new wine every week. I'd ask Alyssa to come and sit on the piano. Because right there, I believe the Lord wants to pour new wine as he is making a great invitation to each of you. Come aside. You know, I'm going to continue next week. But listen to this. I believe the Lord is pinpoint to some areas in your life right now. And I'm inviting you to answer to the word of the Lord. Come to the altar. Make things right with the Lord. Remember, the altar is not a place for bad people. It's a place for smart people, for good people. People who knows, hey, I need a touch. And this morning, the Holy Spirit wants to touch you. He wants to impart something new in you. I pray the experience I'm having with the Lord would become so contagious. And I know some of you, if not most of you, are experiencing the same thing. And I pray that that spark would just become a flame. And when we come together, it become contagious. So Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we submit to the authority of your word. Yes, we do. We invite you, Holy Spirit. I invite you. Lord, I invite you. You know, as we take a couple minutes, I believe your word, your heart is open. Answer to the word of the Lord this morning. I'm going to make myself available to pray. I'm going to ask Kendra and Felix and Betty to make themselves available to pray for any one of you who needs prayer. Come to the altar, guys. answer to the word of the Lord this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Crucified to set me free. crucified, you set me free. Now I live to bring him praise. There is no one else for me, none but Jesus. Crucified, you set to set me free. Now I live to bring him praise. There is no one else for me, none but Jesus. Crucified to set
Father, we thank you for the seed of life, which is your word. And this morning I planted, I spread the seed. I pray, Father, these seeds would fall in good soil, For your word says there is no word that comes out of your mouth that does not produce. But yet it must be found in fertile ground. That's why I said earlier, Lord, we submit to your word. I know you're working. And I trust you. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done here in this place. As we step out from this building today, God, may we be known as people who have been with Jesus. That's where it's at. To be known, yeah, not highly educated, maybe not rich people, famous people, but Lord, we want to be known as those who have been encountering the glory of God. So, Father, I ask that your peace, your favor would rest on these, your sons and your daughters. Like your word says, may the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding, all human knowledge, guide our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, God bless you guys. Make it a great day and a good week. Keep drinking from the source.